Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Which Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you are listening to Widget Goes Off here on QuickStopEntertainment.com. So, welcome back. Hope we all survived the week. All six of us, counting me. What do we want to talk about this week? Well, first of all, here's something depressing. I was I was cleaning out my graphic novel shelf. You know, for those of you that read, you know, you just seem to accumulate books. I think they're procreating when we're not looking because there's just so many of them, and the number just seems to keep growing, and there's never an empty bookshelf, is there? I mean, if you have a bookshelf, it will fill itself if you don't fill it first. But anyway, so I was going through graphic novels because I'd gotten, you know, review copies of stuff and things that I had bought and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I was just trying to clear out some space. And of course, what do I come across but Valiant the Second Coming, which, of course, was my pet name for cross-gen comics. From a few years back, the upstart company that tried to, it basically did what Valiant did. It started off with some great ideas, some great stories, some great creators, then died trying to keep up. It bloated itself with too many characters, bloated itself with too many titles, lost quality, and eventually imploded. At least with Valiant, a lot of the best stories had already been written. There was a bunch of really cool ideas that they had screwed around with. They did have Unity 2000, which I don't think they ever finished, which was their attempt to come back. But with CrossGen, I mean, their whole wrap up series, the Negation War, just never completed. And I don't even know if it would have been worth reading, but I would have liked to have known what the story was supposed to end up being, the meta plot. And if so, you know, if that was going to indeed be the end of the whole Negation thing, what the story was supposed to be afterwards. So the thing is, you know, what do you do with all these graphic novels, these collections of stories? Because you're never going to know how they end. So I'm thinking of just, you know, selling them or something. Because it's just far too depressing to keep them around. But I'm just wondering, did anyone ever come out in an interview and explain how the war was supposed to end and how, you know, what was coming next and everything? Does anyone even know? Because I'd love to know. I was a huge proponent of CrossGen at the time and was sad as hell to see them go. So that's depressing. That always just depresses the shit out of me when I think about them and I think about Valiant. And we need more people, writing good comic books that aren't Marvel and DC because, you know, unless it's Vertigo, DC doesn't know how to write good comics anymore. And Marvel, I'm beginning to wonder, you know, if they ever did or we were just on drugs. I mean, I don't know. It's gotten so bad. Anyway, so there's that. Let me just depress you right off. Woo, yay. And here's the other thing, too. Totally different topic, because I've seen this in a couple different places, talking about Transformers and the movie, and stuff being leaked, and images being leaked, and apparently there was some behind-the-scenes stuff that got shown on one of those insipid fucking entertainment shows. Don't misconstrue the way Hollywood works. And I hope that they're being this smart. I really think that they are in this case. When this stuff, like with Transformers, gets leaked with these images and stuff like that, they're all teasers. I mean, it's basically the studio, and it's basically Michael Bay fucking with you, to keep your interest up. So things are being leaked, and then of course the studio will come behind and shut it down. I think that what was that one site that had the images up there, they went a little overboard on, but I think all of this is orchestrated. I really do, because I mean, let's face it, if there's two ways to go about this. There is the completely open and honest way to do it, which might or might not work, which is basically let's leave the whole thing open to you and reveal what's going on and show you the man behind the curtain, and that works. I mean, Snakes on a Plane is doing that. I mean, when you're basically rewriting and shooting new scenes based on input from fans of your movie, that's pretty fucking open. But there's also the forbidden fruit element to keep in mind. I mean, Transformers is unique in that it's I don't know. It's one of those properties that could be it could be a really great movie, or it could be a really shit movie. I don't think there's any way that it could be a really mediocre movie. It's going to be either one or the other, one extreme or the other. We're going to like it, or we're going to just absolutely despise it. But it has potential. So what you've got is, I think they're playing with your minds, as in trying to keep you guessing as to, well, what is Optimus going to look like, and what are the effects going to look like, and stuff like that, just to keep everyone talking about it, because it's real simple to. Because the reaction to the trailer that I've seen, the couple of times that I've seen it actually in the cinema, and the couple of times we've talked about that I've actually gone to the cinema and then usually regretted it afterwards, you're getting a couple of different reactions. The majority of people don't know what the fuck it is because they're in the wrong demographic. And the people that do know what it is either are very cautiously optimistic, or they're just like, oh, fuck, oh, no. So, the most important thing with a film like this is, just to get people to show up on opening weekend, to talk about it to the point where it becomes enough of a phenom to where people just have to show up and see it. So I think it's all orchestrated, personally. And I think it's to get you to talk about it, bad or good, so that you'll want to go see it and find out what the fuck's going on. So, but I don't know. At this point, you would probably be hard pressed to do better Transformers stuff than Devils Do has been doing with it with their G.I. Joe versus Transformers stuff. If we're talking on a purely geek level here, I mean, Jesus, what is it? They're doing a series now where it's Transformers a la steampunk. Megatron is like a canon, an actual honest to God archaic canon. And all of the cars are they're either like biplanes or they're steam engines, so it's like they're having a great time over there. So I don't know I don't know how the movie's going to turn out. I am one of the cautiously optimistic types simply because I thought the teaser trailer was so well done. But yeah, don't be fooled by a lot of this fake leakage. I'm fairly certain that it's fake. And they're just fucking with your minds, which they like to do. What is it? What is it that I wanted to say? Oh, here's the main thing that I want to talk about this week is the big news for this last week was that LimeWire is being sued by the record labels for all the file sharing that's going on, and they want damages of like 150K per song that's been traded. First of all, this is fascinating for a couple of reasons. They're talking about their business model is designed to. They've been making money. They've been reaping the profits. What is one of this? Hang on a second. Where is this stupid? Let me pull up the stupid link here. What is it? Where is it? Talking about how much money this company was making. Yes, this is from the art, and I'll link up this article. LimeWire and its executives, quote, have had a direct financial interest in and derived substantial benefit from the infringement of plaintiffs' copyrighted sound recordings. First of all, I don't know how LimeWire is making money apart from LimeWire Pro, which is kind of weird because, as I understand it, LimeWire is open source and so is LimeWire Pro, which means that you can basically get LimeWire Pro for free, but they want you to pay for it. So it's kind of like QuickTime versus QuickTime Pro. I mean, how many people have QuickTime Pro? I mean, I had it once just because that was the only way to do screen, grabs off of things, and then I figured out a better way to do it. But I mean, really, it's like what was the other thing? Real Audio. Ugh. It's like Real Audio. You go to the Real Audio site, and there's 15,000 things that say, "Oh, buy it, buy it, buy it." And down in the corner, there's a little click here for the free version, and it's like in 3-point type or something like that. So they're trying to convince you to buy it, whereas pretty much everything that you possibly need is free. So I don't know how much money LimeWire makes. But anyway, so there's that. And the other thing is this. This 100, let me make sure I'm saying this correctly. 150, yes. 150K in damages for every song willfully infringed by LimeWire. And basically the whole premise of this lawsuit is the fact that due to the Grokster ruling, that if if there's no legitimate usage of the service, or and I'm saying that wrong, the Grokster ruling, yes, if the intent is to encourage copyright infringement, it can be held liable. So that's why they're going after LimeWire. But here's what I don't understand. First of all, if you can purchase the song for 99 cents, then how is it that a song is suddenly worth 150K if it's been through LimeWire? Are they assuming that every song has been downloaded 15,000 times? Am I getting that right? I'm an English major. I'm not good at math, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, does that sound sane to anyone but me? To anyone other than me? Something? I don't know. Here's the other thing. Is that why? First of all, for two other things. First of all, I'm concerned about this idea that file sharing, all file sharing is evil. Of course, that's what a lot of the people in the industry think, because they can't see any real benefit to it other than ripping them off, or so they say. And the probably a lot of the people in our government being the US, obviously. I'm not sure if one of my five listeners is overseas. I'm not sure what your governments think about it. It's probably something similar, I would assume. That it's all just thieves and pirates using file sharing. When really there's a lot of benefits to file sharing that are legitimate. I was doing it for a while. I would fire up LimeWire and have my audiobook files just sitting there on my hard drive so that if somebody was looking for them with Nutella, they could find them that way. That was perfectly legitimate. I owned the files and I was making them available under a Creative Commons license, and people were welcome to download them. Perfectly legitimate. So, do I think that there's a majority of that stuff going on that's legitimate? Probably not. But it's there. So it's a matter of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. All the more reason why we don't want to have government providing the solutions for any of this file sharing nonsense is because they'll basically shut the whole thing down or try. Wouldn't that be fun? Is if you had some kind of federal law that basically said that any of the protocols used for And I know more about this than the government does, so if this makes no sense, just imagine what it would sound like coming from them. The protocols that are used for Nutella and that are used for BitTorrent basically are going to be shut down from the ISP level so that nobody can use them. So imagine that. That's the funny thing too, is that they actually think that shutting down LimeWire is going to do some good when it's actually based off of Nutella. And Nutella is out there and it's its own thing. In fact, what was it? I was looking up the link about where you can go to get LimeWire Pro for free, legally, it looks like, from everything that I can tell. And somebody was on there hawking, hey, here's some new thing. It was called FrostWire, I think it's called. That's a LimeWire spinoff. So that's a great idea. Let's shut down LimeWire so that we can then have, you know, five or six different LimeWire spinoffs that come off of it. I mean, look what happened after Napster. Had anyone heard of any of these other file sharing services until Napster got shut down? Not a majority of people. No, I wouldn't think. But yeah, let's, by all means, Recording Industry Association of America, let's drive all this into dark nets and underground, to where, you know, further away from being able to do anything about it. That's a great idea. Now, you know, as I've said before, I don't have any problem with defending. You know, they have a right to go off and defend the stuff that they own. I'm not questioning that, and I'm not questioning the legitimacy or the illegitimacy of people doing file sharing that probably shouldn't be. But you know, is this going to solve anything? And the answer is no. You know, if LimeWire goes down, there'll be five more, six more that take its place, and it'll just continue to get worse. That coupled with the announcement that what is it? The record labels have stopped shipments to Tower Records because Tower Records is supposedly missed payments to the companies. It just shows that you know, we're seeing a real sea change in how the music industry is going to do business. A lot of it's moving online. So that's that. More shakeout of the music industry. And why should any of us care? Okay, so a couple other things that we'll get out of here. First, Bailey sent this over to me. It was on Newsarama where they apparently had a quick let me pull it up here. Yes, Newsarama. They had a quick talk on the 30th, which would be a week ago. Well, today, because I'm recording this on a Sunday. You're listening to it on a Monday. Ooh, weird time phase. No, Bryan Singer basically came out and said that the reason Superman Returns tanked, and believe me, it tanked, they're going to keep that in the cinema until it hits 200 million, even if it takes till Christmas. So, you know, just get used to seeing it, you know, in the dollar movie, whatever. But no, basically, it was marketing. That was the problem. It was marketing. Right. Marketing. Now, you know, again, I haven't seen the film because I can't bring myself to go see it because I realized how the marketing was playing me. As I've mentioned before, it was basically the John Williams score that probably got all the people in there that went to go see it. So, you know, I don't know what they could have done to make that film look any better than what it was. I mean, when your money shot is a, you know, a bullet bouncing off some guy's eyeball, you know, I'm bored. I'm already bored. If that's your $2 million, whatever it cost to do shot, that's sad. But here's what he says, and I'll provide a link to that too. You've got a dense summer and you're resurrecting the character. There's a different kind of approach you've got to take when you bring in something new. Even though he's Superman and the character's ubiquitous, a Superman movie is a very new thing and it has to be presented in a new way. So a lot of that burden falls on the kind of presentation it is given. Let's see. A Superman movie is new. Let's see. We've got it on DVD. There were four of them before. The idea of a Superman movie is really not all that outlandish when you consider that there's been a Lois and Clark television series, and that's being released on DVD. We've got Smallville. Let's see, what else? There's all the classic Superman stuff that's been released on DVD. So I don't see where a Superman movie would be that outlandish, Brian. The other question would be, you know, what was different about the marketing for Batman Begins than was different for Superman Returns? Because essentially they were resurrecting a character too with a brand new franchise. And again, part of your problem, Brian, is that you were tying your new franchise back to the old franchise. So it's really just one franchise, isn't it? It's basically the equivalent of, you know, Patrick Duffy being in the shower and the entire season being a dream when you've basically said, oh, well, 3 and 4 never happened. So I think it's hilarious that he's blaming marketing. for the domestic take and the lack thereof, this movie has not made money. It will not make money. I don't know how it could make money. When you consider that it's 250 million domestically, you know, 250 million for the production budget alone. God knows what they had in the way of marketing. Plus all, like I've said before, all the 10 years worth of schmutz that came before it. They're screwed. But you know, like I said, there'll be a Superman Returns again. I don't know. At this point, I don't know. They'll probably wait to see what the DVD sales do, but I don't know what it would do. I mean, you'd have to have some really fascinating stuff on that DVD. It would have to be the killer set of all killer sets. It would have to be a Criterion level edition to, I think, have an amazing amount of sales. I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell anymore. But I think Superman Returns 2 will be like the Hulk 2 in that, you know, we'll never see it. I don't expect we'll ever see it. The other news, of course, was that Heath Ledger has been cast as the Joker. Not my first choice. My first choice, of course, would be Paul Bettany, who I think is an obvious choice because not only is he a great actor, not that Heath Ledger is not a good actor. I've honestly liked him in things that I normally wouldn't like. I mean, Casanova and The Patriot, and even 10 Things I Hate About You was actually a decent flick, if you can but dig it. But no, Paul Bettany can be a fucking psychopath. There was some I forget what it was. There was some movie that he was some psychotic thug in, some like I want to say like Criminal Number One or Gangster Number One or something like that. That I saw a clip of where he was like torturing some guy and then defenestrated him. And for those of you who don't know what defenestration means, it basically threw him out a window. I don't want you to think he like sliced off his manhood or something. That probably came later. He was doing worse things. Anyway, but he was fucking crazy. And I was like, wow, he would make a killer Joker. But no, Heath Ledger would probably be quite good. You know, he's been good in pretty much everything. Even Brokeback Mountain, he was good in, and the movie was bad, and it's not his fault. So, but anyway, I'm just glad to see another Batman movie. And personally, I'm in agreement with a lot of the people at the Need Coffee site that we would like to see Snakes on a Plane come out and just fucking kick Superman Returns' ass. I want to see Snakes on a Plane get to 200 million faster than Superman Returns. That would make my year. I would be so happy. You would be able to tolerate me even less than you do right now. So there's that. I think that's it. I think that's all the crap I have to talk about this week. I know that QuickStop has been having some server problems, which they're working on. It's been a bad couple of weeks for servers. Need Coffee's been having problems, what with all the blackouts in California that have been fucking with our server. Hell, I can't even keep my cable modem at home up. I hope I'll be able to FTP this damn thing up to the server. Anyway, but bear with both sites. I think Need Coffee's over the worst of it, and I know they're working on Quickstop now. So that's it. Check out Quickstop. Check out Need Coffee. We're getting ready for Dragon Con 2006 here. So we've got that coming up at the end of this month, Labor Day weekend. I'm personally terrified. I don't know that I'll survive, but we'll see. So until next time. Remember the way to get in touch with me is you can and I poked my head into my message board thing and I really don't have the time to go out there as much as I should, but if you need to bring something to my attention, the email address is widgesucks, that's WIDGESUCKS at needcoffee.com. Widgesucks. Be sure to send any feedback there and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have, recriminations, whatnot. So that's it. I'm out of here. Class is dismissed, and we'll see you next week. Until then, be good.